I am huddled on a bench, shivering, but I don't care about being a bit cold because I'm busy. I have a pencil and a sketch pad balanced on my knees, and I'm sitting in a park in front of a view that has the Houses of Parliament in it, leaning on Jack, who is reading a book. I'm totally focused on my drawing. I'm not actually drawing the view in front of me. I do have a few pages of Big Ben's in my sketchbook, but it's just not the thing that seems to be appearing on the page. "Are you nearly done?" says Jack. "I mean, you have to take as long as it takes, but it's going to rain and..." He shifts around and looks at my drawing. "Oh," he says. "Oh, right, a metaphorical interpretation of the view." "Yep." Ella Black has made me shiver on a bench for an hour so she could draw a picture of... Ella Black. It's not Ella Black. "Sorry to break this to you, sweetie, but I think it really is." I look at it. She looks like me, but she isn't me. I wish Jack could see that, though I don't know how I could possibly expect him to. If I told him, he'd probably understand in the end, but I have never told him and I never will. I laugh a bit, from nerves, and he does too. "How's your book?" I say. "Brilliant, actually. The apocalypse is well underway." "Hey, you know, you're right. This doesn't look quite like you. It's like you with psychotic eyes, isn't it? It's you thinking about something you really, really hate." I look at him. I steady my breathing. "Yes," I say. "Yes, actually, it really is." "You're not thinking about me, are you?" I look at Jack, blonde, unexceptional looking, and one of my two best friends in the world. One of my two only friends in the world. I love his face. I love the way we know each other's secrets. Though really, I know his big secret. But he doesn't know all of mine. I might not know all of his. I probably don't. "Of course I'm not thinking about you," I say. And a raindrop falls right onto my drawing and blurs its face. I close the sketch pad, and Jack puts away his apocalyptic thriller, and we run to a big tree and stand underneath it, looking at the rain and the people putting up umbrellas and hoods and walking fast to unimaginable places. And we wait for it to ease up enough for us to walk to Trafalgar Square and catch a train home to Kent. We ran away to London because it was half term. We spent the morning going to free galleries and looking at art, and then we bought some books, and then we went to sit in the park, and I tried to draw the lovely view. But I drew myself with psychotic eyes instead. And I know why I did. And I'm glad I did. By the time we get to Charing Cross, the rush hour has started. It's later than we realised, even though I was literally looking at one of the most famous clocks in the world for quite a lot of the afternoon. "Massive miscalculation," says Jack. "I know, right?" We stand and look at the people on the concourse. It is extremely busy, not just with commuters, though mainly with them, but also with half-term people like Jack and me. People who have come to London to look at the sights and then forgotten that you need to get a train home either earlier or later than this. If we get the right train, it will only take 40 minutes, but it might be an uncomfortable ride. We live in a commuter town and people are going home in their thousands. We're about halfway back when my head starts ringing. I'm standing up, separated from Jack by two business types who got on at London Bridge and who are pretending they're still at work. One is pressing right up against me, reading some boring financial thing on his iPad. The other is hanging onto a pole as desperately as if he were a stripper and making a very important phone call about a shareholders' meeting. My head is ringing, I tell myself, because I'm standing up. And tired and fed up. I haven't got my phone for distraction because I lost it yesterday. I can't talk to Jack because he's too far away. I have to live in the moment, and everything is blurred around the edges because I am standing up and tired and fed up. I mutter to myself to try to keep it together. No one cares, no one notices. By the time we're walking back to my house, though, I know things are going wrong. I should not have drawn that picture. My ears are ringing with a high-pitched sound, even though we're out in the open air, hand in hand, looking normal. I grab Jack's hand because sometimes he can ground me, and he never minds me doing that. I try to make the ringing stop. I try to use his energy to balance myself. It gets louder. It gets louder and louder.